back, pulls up the three, boom, knocks it down. Curry from the corner at three, puts it in.
For overtime, makes it, Garrett, Murray.
Welcome to the MVP cast. This week, a slightly unconventional edition. It's the NBA season tipping off on the small hours of Wednesday morning. Of course, a big week for the league, a new television deal for the UK and Ireland with Sky Sports. But to look ahead to this season, we heard on an interview with a bunch of media from the ESPN analysts, the brilliant duo of Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson, answering a bunch of questions about different issues around the NBA. We're going to give you a listen. And of course, if you want to subscribe to us on a regular basis, you can do so via iTunes, via Stitcher, or go to our website at mvp247.com. But first up, let's hear Jeff and Mark talking about the league. And first of all, a question about Chicago and just how important it is overall to the health of the NBA that the Bulls have some kind of renaissance.
This is Mark, and I think obviously the league is at its best when these big market teams are relevant and good. We remember those days. I think Chicago is a young, talented team headed in the right direction. And I think in the Eastern Conference, they're more than capable of being a playoff team when healthy and whole. So it'll be interesting to see. I think they're close. But it's no secret that the league is at its best when, you know, these teams in major markets are playing good, solid basketball and they're relevant.
Yeah, and for me, it's Jeff. It's amazing to me how viewership of TV and all that has been so great when the Lakers have been bad for a while, the Knicks have struggled, the Nets have really struggled, and Chicago over the last couple of years has been in a downturn. To me, it's been fascinating how the NBA popularity is still, you know, growing. And then I think from Chicago's standpoint, I think they've made some good moves, and there are some moves that you have to wait and see. You know, will the Zach LaVine contract prove to be a great decision? Lauri Markkanen looks to be a terrific player, so that looks like to be a good draft choice. I think Bobby Portis has outperformed where he has drafted. He continues to be a really good six-man candidate. And so I think they've done some really good things, and some things you just have to wait and see. But the one thing, rebuilding is hard, and it's hard to get good again. We've seen that with Chicago in the past. After Jordan, they thought it was going to be quick, and it was absolutely painful.
Hi, guys. Mark, I'm not asking you this because we discussed part of this in Las Vegas. So two things for Jeff. Do you put the Heat in a tier with the Washingtons, Milwaukees, Indianas behind, you know, Boston, Philly, Toronto, or do you say Miami is not as good as those teams, Washington, Milwaukee, Indy? And Jeff, also on Jimmy Butler, would you, if you were the Heat, trade multiple of their appealing young assets for him, you know, meaning Adebayo, Richardson, Olynyk, Justice Winslow, guys of that ilk? Jeff?
The first question is, I put them as definitely a playoff team. If they traded for someone as talented as Butler is, then I would put them in that next group. The one thing about Miami, I think Miami has more, they have like stuff you can count on, depth, great defense, move the ball. They just aren't as talented as the teams you mentioned, you know, in that other tier. So, you know, could they get there? Yeah. I would feel better about their chances if they made, you know, an impactful trade. And as far as would I do it, you know, obviously everything, you'd have to know the specifics of a trade to say I would or wouldn't do a specific thing. But the idea to trade for Jimmy Butler, yeah, I like that idea for Miami.
Hi, if I can get both of you guys sort of to follow up on that a little bit. Obviously, Jimmy Butler is an all-star talent, but we're also talking possibly about a five-year deal that takes him out to 34 years old. If you were a general manager, would you have any consternation about paying a 34 or 35-year-old player $43 million? So how do you sort of look at the spectrum of that trade when considering the five-year extension or new contract Jimmy will get next summer?
Well, this is Mark, and I think that's the $100,000 question. It's not Jimmy Butler today and what he's worth. It's if you give him that extension at 34 years old, making that kind of money, it can really, handcuff your franchise. And those are the tough decisions that you boil it down to whether the trade is worth it or not. He's certainly a heck of a basketball player, and he's going to help them today. That really makes it tough. And if I was a general manager, I'd try to meet somewhere halfway where I'm not paying that kind of money when he's 34 years old.
And Jeff, your thoughts?
This is Jeff. Yeah, I'm not at all convinced that every team like Miami, I'm not convinced that they would do that. I'm not convinced. Like people would say, well, Houston did it for Chris Paul, but I think Houston, two things. Houston was closer to a championship than Miami. And secondarily, I think Chris Paul is going to go down as one of the, all-time greats. So I'm not convinced that every team that will trade or the team that ultimately trades for Jimmy Butler will feel necessary to give him 5 years. I really do think there will be negotiations. I think the only team that's committed to paying him 5 years right now would be the team that has him.
Hi, Jeff and Mark. I'm from Australia, obviously, and there's a lot of hype about the game over here at the moment because of the influx of Australians in the league. And I'm interested in both your takes on the Aussie guys like Ben Simmons and Joe Ingles and Dante Exum and, what their impact on the league has been and whether any of their teams can actually challenge the Warriors for the title.
Well, this is Mark, and I think the impact has been outstanding. The talent of all three of those guys, especially led by Ben Simmons, I think he's a generational talent. You know what he does on the basketball floor. He came with expectations on him from day one, and he has not disappointed. And continues to get better and better. I thought he had an outstanding year last year, and he's going to build on it. Exum is about being healthy, playing very well. I expect a great season from him, being healthy and whole, tremendous size, tremendous athletic ability, and in a great system. And with Ingles, he just knows how to play. Dangerous player, smart player. Remember him starting with the Clippers and having an opportunity. And now in Utah, that's a heck of a basketball team. I really think Utah and Philadelphia, out of those both of those teams, are more than capable of advancing in the playoffs and having long runs. They're that good.
Yeah, and I want to echo what Mark said about Exum. I really don't know very much about him. His time in the NBA has been so choppy due to injury. It's hard to see all that he's capable of doing. Hopefully, this is the year that he can be healthy and play, a long, productive year. I love Joe Ingles. I think Joe Ingles is a tremendous glue player, terrific shooter, passer, defender. What a pickup by Utah. And I know the Clippers, regret waving him back a few years ago. And then Ben Simmons, everyone wants to focus on what Ben Simmons can't do, which is shoot, and try to rush him into being a range shooter. And I think Simmons and Philadelphia have done a good job in focusing on what he does great versus what he doesn't do as well. And I think that's hard to do with all the critiques that you get as a player, but I think it's been very wise by both Simmons and Philly. I think Utah is the third best team in the West. And I think Philly, everybody talks Toronto. They talk Boston as the top two teams in the East. But if Philly plays well, they don't have to take a backseat to anyone.
Fantastic. And do you think any of them can knock over the Warriors?
No.
thanks, mate.
hi. Even with their best player on the shelf indefinitely, do you guys feel that Knicks fans should be optimistic about the right leadership being in place now, president, GM, coach? I mean, do you think they are headed in the right direction, or at least have the guys that can point them that way?
The Knicks, so much has been made. I've always thought the coaches have been good, right? I mean, so much of the coaches, how well you do is based strictly on the roster, okay? So I think David Fizdale is very good. And if he has a good roster, they'll have a good team. If he has a mediocre roster, they'll have a mediocre team. So I don't look at it as like changing coaches is the most important part to improvement. I think who picks the players is absolutely critical to your success or lack of success. And, you know, they've had, you know, some spotty things go, you know, in the last, you know, 3-4 years, whatever it is, as far as picking players, both in the draft and free agent. So right now, I don't think you can expect them to have a quick fix. You know, Porzingis' health and improvement, it's not just his health. He's got to get better to be a best player on a really good team. And then they have to supplement their talent. When you look on the floor right now, even if they had Porzingis, Knox has got a chance. But, like, you look at their team, they're just not a talented team. Now, I like Cantor. I think he was a tremendous trade. I'm interested to see if they can sign him or will sign him. But I think he's a very good player. But their backcourt needs some shoring up.
And this is Mark. I think in the Eastern Conference, after you look at the top teams that obviously will, you know, make the playoffs and have home court, I think it boils down looking at the rest of the conference, which teams are committed, which teams defend at a high level, which teams don't take night or possessions off, and those teams will have an opportunity to sneak into the playoffs. That's been proven. There's clearly some teams that are better than the other ones in the East, but if you play hard, you compete, you defend, and you buy in. And the Knicks are one of those teams. They have an opportunity to show growth and be chasing the playoff spot.
Good evening, Mark, and good evening, Jeff. Two-part question. The first one being San Antonio Spurs. They had a really tough season. Now, looking ahead of this season, what impact will they have, if any at all? And what players do you think they'll be a standout players this season? And then also, why is it important for the NBA to be, you know, collaborating with people like the EuroLeague when it comes to the growth of basketball globally, especially looking at talents like Luka coming into the league and making an impact straight away so far in the summer league?
Well, this is Mark, and I think the Spurs, I think they will be the Spurs. We expect them to play hard, compete, win ball games. I expect them to be balanced for home court. You look at that roster and you look at the age and you say how, but we've been saying that for quite a while. Pop finds a way to get the best out of his guys. They're a talented team. They added some youth. I think the injury at the point guard position hurts them. I expect White to be back soon, and I expect him to be playing, you know, great basketball when he does come back. And I expect the Spurs also to be on the hunt for help at the point guard position until he comes back to add depth. But that's a team that's talented. They know how to win. They know how to defend. I think Rudy Gay will have a very good year for them. I thought last year he was bouncing back from injury, but I think this year he'll play more minutes and show his true versatility. As far as your second question, I didn't really hear it all, but this is truly a worldwide league. They've done a great job of getting talent from all across this world, and not just talent just to be sitting on the end of the bench, but home run talent. And it's exciting to see and a great time for the league.
And this is Jeff. Last year, the Spurs won 47. Kawhi Leonard only played 9 games, I believe. And so I think by getting DeRozan and getting Poeltl for Leonard, I think that's a huge upgrade from where they were last year without Leonard. So I think offensively they'll be fine. I think defensively, losing Leonard and losing Danny Green and losing Kyle Anderson, I think there's going to be some struggles there on some nights. With Murray hurt and Derek White hurt, you know, their top 2 point guards are sort of converting a smallish two guard in Bryn Forbes to the starting point guard. I'm interested to see how that works, but because he's a very, very good shooter. But I think, like Mark, even though they have some defensive question marks, I have no doubt they're going to play hard, smart, and together. And when you do that in the NBA, with the goal being about the team versus about the individuals, you can overcome at times more talented teams that aren't as committed to doing things together. As far as the European players or the non-Americans, to me, it's not just the Europeans. As Mark mentioned, there are players all over the world now, and our league is so much better for going out there and finding the very best players worldwide because their skill level, their talent, and as important, their commitment to the team makes the NBA a better place.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Mark. I just had kind of two questions here. I'm wondering, what do you think LeBron James needs to do with the Lakers this upcoming season for you each to consider it a successful campaign? Because he's had this, you know, finals or bust mentality for years now, but I'm assuming that mentality changes a bit this year. So what does he need to do for it to be a successful season in his eyes? And secondly, you know, I think we can obviously all agree we're not going to have a Cleveland-Golden State matchup for the first time in a number of years. But is there any reason that anyone should not expect the Warriors to be back and have a very familiar ending to this season?
Well, this is Jeff. I'm not sure how James would consider it a success. To me, all a player or a team can do is play, you know, as hard as they can together with a level of intelligence. The other teams have an impact on how many games you win. So I'm not sure how he would consider it a success. But as a coach, that's how, if I was coaching him, that's how I would consider it a success. You know, did we give what we had to the process? I think as far as Golden State, if you gave me you can take the field or you can bet Golden State, I'd bet Golden State. I was sure they would win last year until there was 20 games to go. Then I thought Houston would get them, and I still think they would have if Paul hadn't gotten hurt. But going into this year, if Golden State is into it, and which they really weren't last year in the regular season and still won 58 games, if they're into it, they're by far the best team with the best talent and will win.
And this is Mark. To answer your second question first, Golden State is the clear-cut favorite. I'm in agreement with Jeff. I do think in this league anything can happen. So there's some teams in the Western Conference, if clicking right, if healthy, injuries plays a role, not just for the Warriors, but throughout this league. So that can play a part in it. But the Warriors are the clear-cut favorite. To answer the LeBron part, I think it's about the improvement that the Lakers show, the continuing to develop. I think the goal is to win a championship. Like, the, you know, there is a handful of teams in this league. You have the best player in the world. That's the goal. Is it realistic? I'm not sure. But to show improvement, to show growth, and it's a win already because the Lakers are once again relevant. Now it's about developing winning habits and progressing towards that march.
Great. Thanks so much for taking the call. Jeff, you spoke earlier about Ben Simmons shooting, and Mark, I was just wondering if you wanted to add to that as well, because it seemed like smart coaches like Brad Stevens last year in the playoffs sort of took advantage of that and really crowded the 76ers' shooters. Can you talk about Ben's development? Can he rise to that level if he's not going to be able to shoot?
Well, to me, it's just about continuing to put the time in and become a better shooter than he is already. He's shown the incredible talent. He's shown an incredible commitment to competing at a high level, and I'm sure he's going to become a better shooter. I think you can nitpick as a coach or as a fan and say what a guy can't do, as opposed to looking at the great way he impacts the game and puts you in position to win night in and night out. So I wouldn't overreact to it. They surrounded him with great shooting last year. They still have very good shooting this year, and I think it's you know, that team was a call away from, you know, winning on the road in the playoffs. I wouldn't overreact. They're in great position, and the future's awfully bright.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And for both men, the Jimmy Butler situation here, has it sullied his reputation, so to speak, where he as a player, wherever he may go, and how much will this have an impact on the Timberwolves in terms of cohesiveness, playing this year with all this going on, especially since he has not been traded yet?
Well, this is Mark. It's going to have an impact without question. We've already seen that. It's awfully tough to have situations like they're having right now and not allow it to impact your team. So that's the concern. They're still talented enough to win games, but it wears on you. And I think the quicker they make a decision, the better off they'll be down the road moving forward. Will it hurt Jimmy Butler? I think it has hurt him. It has hurt him to an extent thus far. But at the end of the day, you win in this league with talent. Without question, he's a high level talent in this league, and someone will benefit from his presence in the lineup. But it does wear on you as a basketball team, and the concern is, will this mess up the Timberwolves' growth from last year and their development moving forward?
And I agree with Mark. I think it's had a huge negative impact on Minnesota already. If you look at their performance in the preseason, it's been overwhelmingly poor. And I think they're caught in a quandary. I don't think people are giving them good trade options. They're trying to bully them into taking a bad deal. If they did that, that would set their franchise back years. If they keep him and he's not all in, which he seemingly is not, from what you hear, then that too is a bad option. So to me right now, they have they don't have any good options on the table unless somebody comes up and decides, from what I've read about these offers, right, to make a reasonable offer. The offers I've seen in the papers, and again, I don't know how true they are, but they're certainly underwhelming.
Okay. Yes, I would like to ask to Jeff something about Danilo Gallinari, and for example, how would you coach now after all the injuries he had, if you think that small forward can be still his most effective position, or if he should move to the power forward, and how do you see his evolution as a player through the years? And just a curiosity to Mark Jackson, coach Larry Brown, now he is in Italy, and what do you think about this kind of experience, and what do you think about him at 78 years old being still a coach, being still with that kind of will to improve and learn something, not only to teach? Thanks.
As far as Gallinari, I think he's paired with a good forward in with the Clippers in Tobias Harris. They're both more 3-4 men, like small forwards and power forwards, which is a incredibly important position. I think Gallinari is so big that he offensively poses such matchup problems for their opponents. So I think he's a terrific offensive player when healthy. I just think, unfortunately, injuries have been a struggle, and he has some defensive challenges. But offensively, terrific player that you're right. I think will morph more into a power forward as he plays longer and longer than at the small forward position due to his lateral quickness challenges. But he's a very good player.
And this is Mark to answer your question about Coach Brown. I did read something recently where he was coming back home for health issues, just for some surgery. Just thinking about him and praying for him and hope everything's fine. But everybody that knows him knows that he's a lifer as far as a basketball coach and a basketball mind. It was a privilege for me to play for him a couple of times. He's a Hall of Famer, class act that's passionate about the game of basketball and has a gift to be able to teach the game. So I think it keeps him young, and I think it's a benefit for anybody that has the privilege of having Larry Brown be the head coach.
Hello again, and good morning. Jeff and Mark, I'd like to expand on Gallo's question and make it more about the Clippers. Do you think that they have enough to be able to make a run to the playoffs? And also, what do you think are the different tiers with regards to the Eastern and Western Conference?
Well, this is Mark. I think they're a team that, to me, they're a sleeper team. They have veteran guys. They have an outstanding coach. They've added pieces. They play extremely hard. They're versatile. And they have the ability to defend and make plays around the floor. They can score at different positions. So I think they have an opportunity to be a playoff team. I would not be surprised. Building off of their preseason, I like the way that they've played. They've experienced success. It'll be very interesting to see when the lights are on if they can continue to progress. But I see them as a team that's more than capable of making it in the playoffs.
This is Jeff. I echo that. I think the Clippers, I like how they play. They play with great energy, passion. I like their team. Whether that translates into being a playoff team, it's hard to say due to how many good teams there are in the Western Conference.
Well, that was Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy talking about the new NBA season. If you want to see a preview of that, you can head to MVP247.com. We can also get all the archives of our previous podcast. Just go to the site and click on the podcast page. We'll have more interviews over the next few weeks with other folk around British basketball. If you like us, tell your friends. You can subscribe, of course, on iTunes, on Stitcher, or access all the editions of the podcast via MVP247.com. If you get any feedback, you want to get in touch, you can tweet me at Mark Britbull. But from me, Mark Woods, for now, it's goodbye.